Romans chapter 8. We're going to read verses 35 through 39 together. Oh, many weeks ago, we started a series on Wednesday nights on the topic of separation. Now, the average Baptist, and I've said this before, thinks that separation means a couple things that the preacher doesn't like and he's going to tell you about them. And that has nothing to do with separation at all. And I want to help you tonight. We have talked about what separation is, separating from and to, and separation in friendships, separation in doctrine. And tonight we're going to start on something that I am just about as excited as I've ever been about teaching or preaching anything in my life. I mean this. I am about so wound up, I don't know how long it's going to last. I've got enough notes to last us probably 2 to 3 weeks. It could go longer. Depends how well you listen and how fast I talk. Amen. And I'm excited about it. Let's look at Romans 8, look at verse number 35. Who shall separate us? There's that word, separate, okay? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, let me review, let me remind you of a few things, and let me help you with something. Separation is not a badge that you wear to say, look at me. Separation has nothing to do with you. Separation is putting those things aside so that you can get as close to God as you can get. See, all those things that sins and weights that hold you back from getting close to God, giving God the praise, giving God the time, giving God the fellowship that you as a Christian are supposed to give him. Did you hear that? Everybody awake? Slap yourself. Okay. Separation is to keep you from not being in sin only. God didn't say just come out. He said when you come out, I want you to be separated unto me. We talk about, remember Lot and his wife. They came out of Sodom and Gomorrah. When they were in Zoar, she looked back at the destruction and God took her life. Though she came out, she wasn't separated unto. And the more you look back at what you came from, instead of where you're going, the more opportunity you have to destruct. The reason a lot of Baptists, the reason a lot of Christians have troubles with their standards is because they're looking back at what they came out of, not what they're going to. That's why Galatians says, why turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? Some of you got saved. God changed your life. You came out of it. Now you want to go back, put Christian words to it, and say it's okay. You're going to back to the same barf you came out of, just with a different name. Why do you want to turn back to it? The whole goal was to come out of it so you could get close to him. Now, listen to me very carefully. I love my wife. I love my church. I love my children. These are my life. My church, my family is my life. I spend every waking moment and many non-waking moments thinking about you. I do. My whole life, you ask my wife, my mind never shuts down. My mind is continually on this church. It does not slow down. Say, what about 2 o'clock in the morning? I'm up working on it somewhere, some way, some fashion, at some day of the week. It is just totally consuming to me. I think about it all the time. Now, you can say what you want about me. My enemies can say whatever they want about me. You can say whatever you want about me. It'll roll right off like water off a duck's back. It does not bother me. Now, you let somebody say something about that little lady right there, and you and I are fighting. Trust me. You can be unkind to me. Don't be unkind to her. I'll fight. You can say whatever you want to about me as a pastor, but you say something about my church people and I'm going to fight. Say why? That's what I'm supposed to do, isn't it? I love my friends. I'll fight for my friends. that quick. If somebody says something about Brother Gus Collins, Brother Gus, I'm going to jump in and fight, and then I'm going to ask you why I did it. Say why, because that's my friend. Brother Stoltz, they say something about you, I'm fighting. I'll find out why later. It's okay. Say, you shouldn't be that way, okay? But I know how to love people. That's called love. Mamas, you know what I'm talking about. Let somebody say something or do something to one of your kids. Out come the claws, amen? Even though what that person said might be true, you're still going to fight them over it. You've wanted to kill your kid over what that person accused your kid of. But because somebody else did, you're ready to fight them. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man, okay? The Bible talks about this. Now, God loves us more than all of the love in the world combined together. Do you realize that all of the love for every husband for a wife, God loves all of that combined more? And all of the love of wives have for their husbands, and mothers for their children, and fathers for their children, and friends for their friends, and pastors for their people, all of that love combined still does not even total what God's love is for you. Do you realize how much God loves you? Now listen to this. I want you to look at your Bible again. This may transform your life in a way you never thought possible. Romans 8, verse 35. The Bible says, who shall separate us? Notice it does not say, what shall separate you? You don't see a person's name mentioned there. But he says, who shall separate you from the love of God? Down in verse 39. Nor height, nor depth, nor any of the creatures shall be able to separate us from the love of God. I want to talk to you about the topic, not letting circumstances cause separation. Not letting circumstances cause separation. Listen to this statement. This is the whole sermon. That doesn't mean you can go to sleep either. Love cannot be separated by an event. Love cannot be separated by a happening. Love can only be separated by people. Did you get that? Do you realize that there are people that die and yet the love does not die? My grandfather's been in heaven 33 years. You know what? I still love him. Y'all know what I'm talking about? My pastor, Dr. Jack Hiles, died. And after 12 years, I still miss him. I still love him. Now, wait a minute. That was an event, death. But it doesn't stop the love. See, love cannot be stopped by an event, by a circumstance. But love can be stopped by a person. Now listen to this statement. That means that only the lover or the one being loved can cause separation in a relationship. That means either the lover or the one being loved is the one that causes separation in a relationship. Nothing else. I realize I'm treading on thin ice here, but if you'll give me a few moments, I can help you. The devil will use circumstances or events to get your eyes off God and on the circumstance. But the circumstance is not the problem. It's where your eyes are focused. Remember Lot's wife. She left Sodom and Gomorrah with her husband, going back to the land of God, and she turned back. She separated from the one. Do you think God wanted to destroy her? Do you think God, by the way, God was trying to protect her by pulling her out of the land of Sodom? God's love said, let me get you out of there. What a stinking cesspool. And as he's taking her out of the bad things in life, she separated from him and said, I want that back. And the relationship was separated not because of Sodom, but because the recipient of the love turned away because of the circumstance. It was not the circumstance's fault. It was the object of the one being loved who was at fault. Listen to me. Let me put it this way. Let me give you point number one. Real love is between two people, not objects. Listen to this statement again. Real love is between two people, not objects. God only gave the ability to love to human beings. Let me make that statement again. God only gave the ability to love to human beings. Statement number two. No animal in the world can love you. They can show affection, but they cannot love you. I don't care how much you love that little puppy dog or that little kitty cat, it cannot love you. It can show you affection, but it cannot love you on its own. Everybody doing okay? I understand we live in a world. By the way, statement number three. Cars, houses, money, and jobs cannot love. Next statement, plants cannot love. Love is only given from human to human. Now listen to this statement. That is why we are not mammals. We are humans. The term mammal given to man is from the evolutionists that want to bring us down to being an animal so they don't have to believe in God. You are not a mammal. You are a human. Everybody doing okay? Okay, we're going somewhere with this. I know you love your little puppy dog, but it doesn't love you. You say, oh, yes, it does, yes, it does, yes, it does. You give me 5 days and enough steaks, and I'll get that dog to love me too. Amen, Brother Buck? You feed that thing enough, it'll love you. It doesn't love you, it shows affection. That animal has no ability by God to love anything. Oh, my cat does. No, it doesn't. It's going to die and go to hell. No. It's where all cats go. I'm going to get in trouble from some little girl or boy, I promise you. Folks, God only gave to human beings the ability to love. Say, no, God can love. God made us in his image. And Jesus is a man. He's always been the man part of the Godhead. Humans are the only ones that have the ability to love. Period. By the way, that's why lost people cannot love you, because they don't have a spirit. They have not been born again by the Spirit of God, and they're no more than an animal. That's why they live like animals. That's why the Sodomites think it's okay. In the news this week, oh, we're going to have to do something with our public school system. We have children that are growing up in Sodomite homes, and they don't know what bathroom to go to because they don't know if they're a boy or a girl. God have mercy. God have mercy on America. Number next. Love is an act of the will. It is not a response to circumstances. Love is an act of the will, not a response to circumstances. I have a dog. Okay, bought it for my wife 5 years ago for her birthday. Say why? Because that's what she wanted, and I knew I could make her happy, and everything's kosher, and the kids love it, and everything else. My daughter's taught that dog to do all kinds of crazy stuff. It's a, you say, what is it? It's a dumb mutt. That's all it is. You know, I can get that dog. I can look at him and say, you're so stupid. You are ugly. You're nasty. And he doesn't know what I'm saying. You say it with the right tone of voice, he has no idea what you're saying. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You men know what I'm talking about, don't you? You're ready to kill that thing. Come here, come here. Let me talk to you for a little while. Folks, you can train something to do whatever you want. My wife will get, or daughter will get one of those dog biscuit things. She'll go like this and say, beg, and he'll sit up on his back legs and go like this, and she'll give him the stupid treat. Say, what do? Throw it across the room, get away from me. No problem. Now, wait a minute. I like my dog. Now, it's not a watchdog. Amen, Brother Matt? Well, it is a watchdog. He'll watch you walk right into the house. He'll watch you take things out. Doesn't bother him a bit. He'll just watch it both ways. Now, wait a minute. Love is an act of the will, not a response to a circumstance. Where most people get disillusioned in love is this. Well, I did this and somebody didn't do something back, so nobody loves me. Okay, take your toys and go home, little girl, little boy. That's how children act. They want something for what they do. Love is an act of the will, not a receiving or a change of circumstance. There are basically two kinds of love in the Bible. You have phileo love and you have agape love. Agape love is that deep abiding love of God. It's principled, it's right, based on truth. Phileo love is love that appeals to your senses. Bless you. For instance, I love my new grill. I do. Say, have you used it? Yes, I have. I used it Monday, amen? I had that thing cooking away. Now, wait a minute. I love my new grill. Guess what? My grill doesn't hug me. My grill didn't talk back to me and say, oh, I love you. Oh, I love you too. I wasn't out there hugging my grill. Notice there's no marks on me from hugging a hot grill, amen, or a cold one. Now, wait a minute. I love coffee. Amen, Brother Bill? I laughed. He said, is it okay to bring coffee into church? You're not right with God if you don't. Amen. I love coffee. But wait a minute. That's because it appeals to my senses. I love hunting. Say why? It appeals to my senses. Hunger. Blood. All that. Now wait a minute. I love those things, but that's not real love. I enjoy those things because they appeal to my senses. I love good music. I love the right kinds of things in life. I love a beautiful sunrise or a beautiful sunset. I love a drive through the Shenandoah Valley and watch the mountains and things. I love those things, but guess what, folks? It's really not love. Those are conditional. At 6:20 this morning when I left my house with my son and it was too dark, well, it wasn't too dark, but it was too foggy to see anything, I didn't love the drive. It really wasn't one of those drives that was, wow, that's breathtaking. It was like, can you see any farther than I can? Now, wait a minute. I didn't love the drive to work this morning because I couldn't see anything. But those mornings, it's crystal clear out and you can see the mountains and it's sun's coming up. Ooh, man, I enjoy those. Phileo love is a love that draws you to it because it appeals to your senses. Listen to me very carefully. One reason standards are important, girls, because you can catch a man's eye. You can appeal to his senses, but that doesn't mean he loves you. Girls, just because he knows what words to say to make you feel warm and squishy inside, and he knows how to appeal to your senses doesn't mean he loves you. And I do know what I'm talking about. Well, he listens to me and he makes me feel good. That doesn't mean he loves you. Agape love is a love you turn on and decide how to do it. I hate the statement, this couple fell in love. Don't use that statement around me. I hate it. Falling has never been done on purpose. That's an accident. If you fell in, you can fall out real fast. I did not fall in love with my wife. I fell over her, but I didn't fall in love with her. Matter of fact, I knocked her down on the ground. But, now wait a minute. I love my wife. I can tell you what day I decided I was going to love her. And I haven't stopped. That was an act of the will. I decided that on September 23rd, 2012, that I would love Grace Baptist Church when I started pastoring it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That was a decision of the will. I love my children. When them puppies were hatched, I made a decision. I was going to love them, right or wrong. And believe me, some of them have put me to the test. But guess what? They're still mine. They're rockheads, just like me. It's okay. Their good points come from their mother, not me. Now, wait a minute. I love my children because I decided I would love them. It doesn't even mean I always approve of what they do, but I still love them. Now, listen to me very carefully. Phileo love is not commanded by God. Agape love is. God doesn't say phileo one another. He does say agape one another. Y'all doing okay? What is the great commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He didn't say phileo him. He said agape him. So God commands us to agape love. That means by the will, we decide we will love no matter what. Number next. You cannot control what attracts you, but you can control what you dispense. You can't control always what attracts your eyes, fellas. But you can control whether you go to it or not. I'm going to get a little personal here. I've been in the ministry a long time. And anybody that knows me, you know this statement is true. I am not against divorced people. I'm against you divorcing if you're saved now. Stay with the one you got and we'll make it work. Amen? But listen to me very carefully. What happens is this. A man and a woman are married. They have their affection and their love one to another. Man goes off to work. Maybe there's a lady at work that starts drawing his attention. That is a circumstance. You, man, giving attention to that circumstance means you've taken your eyes off your wife and put them on someone else. That's where you're wrong. And you have separated your love. Ladies, he goes to work and you get online and you start going through all the social media or you watch the soapbox operas and all the other garbage on the television and read the romance novels and you start thinking about things you should not think with people you should not be with. You have separated your love because you've drawn your attention away from your husband. Now listen to me. You can't always control what attracts you. But you can control what you dispense your love to. Do you know there are some worldly people I wouldn't mind getting to know? You're going to laugh at me. I don't like the guy. I don't like anything about the man other than the fact that he's successful. Donald Trump. Thank God he didn't run for president. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't like him. But there's a part of me that could like him. I don't read any of his material. I've not read one book. I don't read articles by him. I don't read anything. You say, why? Because his type of success, not financial, by the way, but his ability to succeed and turn things around like he does fascinates me. And because it does, I stay away from him. Say why? Because I don't want it to pollute real Bible leadership. His leadership is not Bible leadership. His success is not biblical success. So I stay away from it. Y'all doing okay? Now, I read a lot of biographies, but I'm careful who I read. Because if I read something that I like, but it's not based on the Word of God or truth, I'm in danger now. Boy, that's good stuff. Thank you. Number three. This is where I really want to get. When there is a separation of love, it's usually because the object being loved moves away from the source of the lover. You want me to say that again? When there is a separation of love, it is usually because the object being loved moves away from the source of the lover. God is the source of all love. When you wander in your Christian life, that's the key word. You wandered. God didn't move. I am the Lord God. I change not. That's why the Word of God, the King James Bible, is so important, because it has not changed. It is God's Word, inspired, preserved, perfect, holy, and word for word from God. It's not man's words. And we have to have that, because God said, man can't live but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. There must be an every word Bible somewhere, or we're all going to die and go to hell. See, God doesn't change. Just because you don't like something doesn't mean he's going to change. As my daughter has grown older, she finds out there's things daddy doesn't like. Guess what? Even though she says, but daddy, so-and-so, I don't care. I'm not so-and-so's daddy. I'm your daddy, and I'm not changing. That doesn't mean I don't love her, but I'm not changing it. Some of you daddies need to get enough backbone to tell your daughters that. You need to be able to look them square in the eye and say, guess what? I'm not changing. You are. But I don't care how many times you say it. I'm not changing my mind. See, that's not love. That's Bible love. It's agape love. It's not phileo love. She doesn't always understand, but eventually, as she gets older, she starts understanding. Listen to this very carefully. Marriage is split because the love focused on a circumstance instead of the love focused on the lover. The one that strays is the one farthest from the source of the love. Guaranteed. If you've lost a marriage, it wasn't another woman's fault. It was your spouse who wandered away because of the circumstance. It wasn't the circumstance. You say, well, I'm just not having my needs met. Listen to this statement. No, it means you're not loving. I don't know how else to say it. Parents, watch this. A parent never stops loving a child. And I don't care how good your kids are, growing up in church their whole life, eventually some of them are going astray. Period, end of discussion. When the child does stray, usually it's the child that strays, not the parent. Very rarely, Brother Stevie, do I have parents that go wacko and the kids are fine. Yeah, every once in a while. You got bus kid situations like that. That's just because the parents haven't been taught. Now listen to me very carefully. Most separation is one-sided. Come here, Brother Matt. This is not my wife. This is my friend. This is...
Very ugly.
Yeah, buddy. Don't even go there. Here's what happens. Here's my friend. We're going along. We're pulling the harness fine. And all of a sudden, something comes up. And he gets turned and goes a different direction. He separated from me. I didn't separate from him. Same thing happens in a marriage. Same thing happens with parents and kids. And usually it's one-sided. Kids, when you make a mistake, when you screw up, come on back. It's okay. Now watch this. Here's what happens, though. He goes that way, and because he went that way, a lot of times the other party gets mad at that person and goes this direction too. Now the gap's that much farther. It's harder to put back together. In retaliation, you decide, well, he did it, so I can do it too. And you go this way. Now we got double mess. Have a seat. Counseled a marriage, not in this state, long time ago, faraway place, you wouldn't know who it was. I watched a man, I saw it coming. I went to my pastor and said, I see something, it scares me. I think so-and-so is about to mess up and run off with a woman. No lie, 48 hours later, he ran off with that woman. Within 48 hours. What a mess. The wife got so upset that a year and a half later, after their marriage was being put back together, she was still so upset with him, she ran off with another man. Say, what happened? One went one way, one went the other way. If one of them would have stayed in the harness, kept pulling the plow the same direction, it wouldn't have taken as long to put back together. And there wouldn't have been as much damage. Now, again, I'm not angry with anybody that's gone through a divorce. Please don't take that the wrong way. But what I'm saying is this. If somebody will stay on truth, somebody will stay that source of love, guess what? It'll get put back together a whole lot faster. Say, but you don't know what? My Bible says God forgave you of everything. And you deserve hell. Guess you could forgive anybody else for anything, couldn't you? That means you need to stay close to the source of love. And that's God. And that is the purpose, my friend, of separation. The closer you stay to this, it doesn't matter where somebody else strays. Because by the volition of your own will, you can love that person back. Boy, I love that. I will go to my grave preaching if our people mess up, we're going to pick them up and bring them back. I wasn't a Marine. I'm one of God's Marines. And I don't believe in leaving them bloody on the battlefield. We're going to pick them up and carry them back and heal them up and get them ready for the battle. Say, you don't know what you're talking about, Brother Bush. You be in the ministry 25 years and I'll show you what I'm talking about. I've picked up enough messes. I've seen enough mess to last me a lifetime, believe me. And by the way, don't judge a parent by an adult child. They have a free will of their own. Y'all know what I'm talking about? How many of you agree 100% with your parents? Case in point, amen? Y'all doing okay? Hang in there. When there is a separation of love, it usually occurs because the lover stays where he's supposed to be, or she, and the object of the love moves away. But God commanded his love toward us. And that's why we're sinners. Christ died for us. And then he said, come on, let me get you back, and I'll take you back with me.
Boy, that's good.
Folks, that's called not letting circumstances control your love. So many of you are circumstantial lovers. You're so shallow and you think you're so deep. You don't even know where the bottom is. You haven't even got below the surface yet.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Brother Matt. That means you need to stay close to the source of God's love. What is that? The Word of God. The Word of God. Prayer. Soul winning. Can I tell you the greatest way to show love? Soul winning. You go find somebody that you do not know, knock on their door, walk up and talk to them, and tell them about a heaven, tell them about a God that loves them, how that they're sinners bound for hell and that God can forgive them. That's by volition of your will, giving up what you want to help somebody else. That's real Bible love. I don't care how long I'm in church. I've been saying it for a long time. My mom and dad are sitting back there. They can tell you I've been saying it since I've been a teenager. People get out of church because they quit soul winning. They quit sharing love. They stop soul winning. Then they start skipping church services. Then they start skipping church altogether. And then they want to blame everybody else. Everybody doing okay? But I can take you back to what's their Bible reading, what's their prayer, and what's their soul winning. Every time. Well, I just don't agree with the preacher in. You know what? Find a preacher you agree with on every point. Guess what? You won't find him unless you're it, and then you'll still disagree. It's kind of like the story of the guy that was on a deserted island. He was there for 20 years. They came to pick him up, and there was three buildings. They said, what are these buildings? He said, well, that's my house. And they said, well, what's this building? And he said, That's a church. And I said, what's this building? He said, that's a church. He said, why do you have two churches? He said, I got mad at the first one and went to the second one. That's the way most of you would be. You don't even agree with yourself enough. Folks, when's the last time you praised God? I mean, one-on-one praising. I'm not talking about this Pentecostal, oh, let's have a praise and worship service. People are dying going to hell while we have praise and worship services. Praise and worship services are not in the Bible. You praise God one-on-one. When's the last time you got alone with God and praised Him? Living your life for others. By the way, so many of you want somebody else to live for you that when you do something, you expect reciprocation. That's loving for circumstances, not loving to love. I'm going to say this. I shouldn't, but I'm going to. You stay close to the source of love by staying close to godly counsel and the man of God. I'm risking my own neck on this, but I'll say it because I've said it while I was an assistant pastor. I'll say it now. You need to stay close to the man of God. God happens to give the man of God some wisdom that he hasn't given you. Something happens. Say why? Because we have to spend so much time with him, we get a little different perspective. We happen to know a little bit more about life. Say, but I'm older than you, Brother Bush. I know. But there's some things I know that you don't know. I've given my whole life to it. What you hear for an hour or two or three throughout the week, I live with 24 hours a day, 365 and a quarter days a year. I mean, every moment of my life is spent for this. You visit church. I live here. Please don't take this the wrong way. I'm here more than I'm home. By far. I have spent more time in church since the time I turned 18 than I have in any home, anywhere, anytime. Shoot. Between my freshman and sophomore years of college, my mom and dad moved, and I didn't even know where my home was. I'd have my mom, it was the day before cell phones, you know. I had to have my mom out in the driveway in the middle of the night flagging me down. Come on over here, you know. Trying to find out where they moved to. I found out later they did that on purpose, but I just follow my nose. I know my mom was cooking, amen. I'll find it somehow. Wait a minute. I want you to go back to Romans 8, and I'll close here tonight. The Bible says, who shall separate you from the love of Christ? Who? We'll go through these lists of things later, but look at me. God's love's not going to change. That means only you can separate yourself. That means you let circumstances move you away from the love of God. Period. Because God's not moving, Brother Stoltz. Folks, you have to understand something. You are the only one that can separate you from the love of God. So many times we want things. We want all the niceties, and we want the security, and we want the comfort. We want our puppy dog to jump in our lap and lick our face and say, ooh, 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 ooh. But that's not love. It jumps in my lap and licks my face. It's not going to wake up. I don't want no dog licking me in the face. If it licks you, that's fine, but it's not licking me. Now, wait a minute. Now, listen to me very carefully. Who shall separate us? Who? Well, it's either God or you. And God's not changing, so guess what? You're the only one. That means you allow circumstances to control you. I got to quit there. We just hit the introduction, amen? Circumstances separating you. Let me ask you a question. What's stopping you from loving God? What are you blaming on not loving God? What are you blaming on not loving people? You say, well, you don't know my past. You're letting circumstances stop you. I don't need to know your past. I'll help you with past issues. But your past doesn't mean a hill of beans to God. He already forgave it. He says, what's in? In other words, you're letting bitterness separate you from the love of God. You're letting hurt separate you from the love of God. You're letting anger separate you from the love of God. And to the level that you won't love God, you're separated from Him. See, you just make it sound so easy, Brother Bush. I didn't, God did. I didn't, God did. Who shall separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus? And then he says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You want to know how to conquer those things? Fall in love with him. I mean this. I don't get depressed. Say why? Because I'm in love with God. God doesn't get depressed. He looks at me and says, what are you down about, man? Come on, let's go. I have a little sign on my desk. I wrote it out on a part of a 3x5 card. It said, good morning. I'll be taking care of all your problems today. You don't need to control any of it. Have a good day. God. Every day of my life, I look at that thing. Say why? Because every once in a while, I want to jump in and take care of my problem, Brother Stoltz. And I got to be reminded he's taking care of them. I'm just going to jump in the saddle with him and keep on going. Who are you going to let separate you from the love of God? One statement, and I'm done. Remember, Lot's wife. Remember, Lot's wife. She allowed the circumstance to separate her from the love of her husband, the love of her children, and the love of her God. And God took her. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Boy. Oh, we think separation's some kind of thing on standards and dress and music and hair length and where you go and what you do and your entertainments. No. Separation is a relationship with your God. Are you going to let circumstances control your love? Or are you going to love by your will?